Jason Show on Talk Radio X.
It's time for the James Madison Show.
James Madison Show.
We start your weekend only on Talk Radio X.
And we have a big show today. Russ Emanuel is back for the second time to discuss his film Chasing the Green. He was back. He was on the program in August to promote PJ and talk about PJ. And now he's back with us. We're glad to be able to talk to him, and he'll be on a little later towards... it's going to be in this first half hour, of course, but it'll be a little bit later, about 10 minutes or so. So we're looking forward to that, talking with him. And we have a little bit also coming up with the summer music presentation, a band called The Mugs. And we'll talk about them and play one of their songs after the bottom of the hour break. So interested to get back into that. And it's good to have guests back, period, because we had a long time without our number, the call-in line, if anyone's aware of that. I think we talked about it a few times. So we weren't able to have guests. And having a lot of guests and a good guest was a big staple of our show, I think. In the first half or so year that we did, we've been doing the show. Well, we've been doing it for about a year now, but the first half hour. God, I give up on that.
Yeah, the first half of a year of the show. Yeah, our last guest appearance by phone on the program was really back in November when we had our co-host Jackie Joe for that short time. Jackie was our co-host for the 2 hour program, and that was a pretty special thing just off Turner. And that's perfect into what we're continuing to do, because way back in November, just off Turner, great band out of LA, joined us on the program. What, three members of the band? That was a huge interview. That was great fun, by the way, and it's on the podcast, the promotion. But they sent us about 8 or 9 copies of their CD, The Long Walk Back, and we still have not given them away. We lost the live number for a very long time. We still haven't given those away, and we have 3 copies left.
We've given some away, but we have 3 left.
We have 3 copies left of that CD. We don't need them. We don't want them, and we have one for ourselves. They sent us one, and we sent Jackie one, so all of the hosts who were there that did the interview have their own copies, but we have several more. I've given 3 away. I've given some away on Race Hour, some away on this show, just, any way to get them out there. We have 3 left, and we don't want them for the rest of the summer. Our goal is to get rid of these 3 CDs by the end of this summer music presentation, and starting today, we're going to relaunch the giveaway for these things. And don't call in. It's not for calling in to win these. The way you can win one of the copies today is to answer a question about the upcoming interview with Russ correctly. So listen closely to the interview and email your answer to jamesmadisonshow@yahoo.com. That's jamesmadisonshow@yahoo.com, and I'll have the email up, as well as the question again, at jamesmadisonshow.com. You can go there right now as you're listening. The question is there, and the email and everything. So, and also a whole rundown of the show and everything we do on the show today. So the question is, before we start the interview, listen closely during the interview, and you can win one of these CDs today. And it is, where did the majority of filming of the movie Chasing the Green take place? Where did they film most, or I think all of it, I believe, this movie? What state in the United States? And that's fairly easy if you listen, so don't, die on us out there or anything. So email that answer to jamesmadisonshow.com. The first person to do that will win a copy. And next week, you'll find out the question to win the next copy. And then the third week. And we'll just keep doing this until we get rid of all 3 copies. So a good deal. Check out Just Off Turner. I think it's justoffturner.com. They have great music. John Mayer is a huge fan of theirs. And they're pretty big. They're definitely huge in L.A., as I understand. It was good to have them on. Our last guest and our first guest back, Russ Emanuel, for the second time. It's the first time we've had a second time guest on the show, and it's pretty cool. So look for guests, hopefully every week, I hope. It's going to be a good deal here on the JM show and on Talk Radio X. Things are going to get pretty good. I guess that's all for business. What's going on with you, James?
Well, I don't know. If one thing I want to mention, though, you know, the Awakening, we've done a lot of talking about them, and of course...
we'll try to have them on for next week's show, actually.
Well, that's what I was about to say, trying to get, I think, the lead singer and possibly the whole band on, and I'm aiming and hoping, if he can do the interview sometime next week, that we'll do them for the music presentation. They sent us a new song, and I'm going to sit on it until whenever we do it. So, and I listened to it. It's a good song. If you like their other stuff, you'll definitely like this. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that too. Yeah. And, hey, about music, I mean, we're going to talk about the music, a song coming up. I know we talk about music a lot, but hey, it's just a thing that we like a lot. And, you know, everybody likes music.
We all began,
you know, when we did the Mad Radio program, that was almost all talking with musicians.
Yeah. So bear with us. If we talk about music a lot on the show, well, maybe it's a music show for a part.
It's just a whatever. It's this show is a whatever show, just whatever. And I like it that way. So whatever. But music, hey, clever. You know, we were wetting my pants over Viva La Vida from Coldplay. Well, James doesn't agree with me, but he hasn't really listened to a lot of it. But the new Beck CD came out Tuesday in the United States, and the day before, I think in the rest of the world, Modern Guilt. And I'm a big fan of this already. I bought Chemtrails, the single. You may have heard that. And I bought that when it came out. And there's this other song called Volcano on the album. It's the last track. And it's, you know, a lot of people are saying it's original, but it's unoriginal. But it's good. And it's, I'm going to put up, go to jamesmadisonshow.com. I'm going to put a video up of that one song, Volcano, that I just love. I can't stop listening to it. So check that out. I guess it's a new music alert on the JM show. New music alert. Beck. It's pretty good, but James, you don't like it, and I mean, I think I've forced some of it down your throat. That sounds a little bad, but you don't like it, though. What do you look for in new music? How do you go after new music? That's my question to you, James, because you don't seem to like what I shove in front of you.
It's like it's almost like if you say you are, I saw the term of it, and I didn't even know it existed, but you are that, and I'm trying to think of what it was. Jesus, I can't think of it.
It's not like I'm listening to some of this music as a fashion statement, like it's a piece of clothing. You've kind of hinted, you know, insulted me with that before.
No. There's a big difference with that, and understanding music is a big step towards, you know, just sitting there and listening to it, and I guess even dancing to it, which is, I don't look for it. I don't look for good dancey music. I look for better music than
house
that.
Music.
No, you're a music prick. That's what you are.
What? No,
come on.
What does that mean?
That's not the
what
term.
Does that mean?
That's not the term that I saw, but I think it's appropriate. It just seems like whenever you're showing me a band or something that you've found,
come on.
And then I show you something that I like that's different and that you haven't listened to, you just act like it's just. You know, the greatest thing out there.
Music like, elitist. Is that what you were looking for?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Music elitist.
No.
Well, maybe.
Come
I don't know. It could be something
music
else.
Music elitist.
You put your music over everything as if it's the greatest ever.
People
and
have
you
done
just,
that to me.
You're an amazing, just, you understand everything about
no.
it. You're just, you might as well be in the business because you get
no.
every, you get everything about it. I don't know, though. Well, I disagree.
Well, that's you can disagree, but
people have done that to me though. I do hate that people have done that to me, but I don't think I do that to you or anybody. People have done that.
Of course, you wouldn't think you do it.
I hate the. Well, the lyrics are a little shallow. I've gotten
that. I can't stand. I can't stand somebody.
I do look at that sometimes, but I don't like to be told that.
Well, I listen to the lyrics. I think. Well, I got something out of it. So, what are you telling me?
I guess everybody gets something different. It's about how you feel, what you are experiencing, or what you have experienced.
Well, I think people like to look at a song and think, "Wow, this song's about me."
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah,
my
I
song.
I definitely
that's
know,
my
sad
song.
Songs. People say sad songs. I've looked at it. Go to any kind of sad song that you know, or you know, like human feeling, personal, emotional song. Go to songmeaning.net. And look at how many people have said they wrote this song about me. I relate so much My
to
God.
This song.
Well, that's you know, I don't judge music by the lyrics. I'm not. I know some people that do that, and that's
well,
I just don't like.
Sometimes
that.
They make the song though.
Well, I know
that.
I agree with that. But still, you have to look at it as a whole. You can't just pull out some poetry out of it. Of course, they're important. I'm not saying they're not important.
And of course, you know, you follow along and listen to it, but it's all as a whole, you know. Still, I look for a similar sound, I guess, with everything I try to listen to. So I don't know. I don't really, lyrics aren't a big thing unless it's just, I don't know. Rap lyrics are really about the only thing I can't handle.
Well, let me tell you this, and don't go all, you're a music elitist on me. Let me tell you this. What was I going to say? Some of the new music, like I've started to listen to, I talked about the last show, is Sigur Rós, the Icelandic band. Don't owe me. Do not owe me. You know, and Radiohead, the new stuff, the more electronic stuff, and Tom York solo, and I've started listening, you know, like the Postal Service and Death Cab for Cutie and things like that. You know, electronic-y stuff, just kind of different, a little way off the mainstream, some of it. And I listened to that. And it takes a few listens for any of that stuff to really kind of get into it and enjoy it. But sometimes, it ends up being relaxing and all that. But I can't go back and listen to like Nickelback or, you know, I can't stand after listening to a lot of that. I cannot stand to go to like a top 40 station at all. And sometimes, you know, just too much of that. I just can't get it at all. It seems like, I don't know. I can't put it in the words quite exactly, but it's just, it's hard to go back to something else after you've found that kind of genre of stuff and that's all you listen to for a while.
I forget which magazine it was, New York Times, something like that, that called Coldplay, kind of recently, they called Coldplay the most insufferable band of the century or of something. And somebody, a fan of Coldplay, one of the Coldplay sites or something, that was talking about how the new album has brought them really out of all this sort of thing that people didn't like them, and you know how the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin kind of put it down, and it's just a whole thing that, yeah. And being a fan of Coldplay is really a tough thing.
I've gotten criticized for it.
I just cut you completely off.
No.
But they say that Nickelback, all the Coldplay fans, and I agree with this too, that Nickelback is truly the most insufferable band of all time. Yeah. Because you listen to one song and it's like every other song they've ever made. No album, every album is the same.
Catchy,
they don't change.
But
I liked the first album and a few songs, but after that I just got sick of it. They haven't changed a thing in how many years, and I don't know what to do now. I really could care less.
Yeah. You know, some songs like the new Beck and some of the new Coldplay and just, you know, some of the new bands that I've just started just opening up to in the new genres, I listen to that one of those songs or all the songs that I like, and each time I listen to it, it's like a new gleeful experience, and I get something out of it every time, and, you know, I'm kind of built up and wound up around the song, but I, you know, it's hard to believe I used to listen to things like the Nickelback or, I don't know what another example would be, and I listened to that, and how did I, that's all I listened to, and I can't imagine. I mean, I've just changed a lot with the music that I listen to, and to me, it's changed for the better. I get a lot more out of it, you know. I enjoy very much listening to it, and just trying to explore new types and playing some of it myself. You know, I've used my bass, my masterful bass skills that I lack, I've used this microphone that we do with the radio show. I just turn the amplifier on, bring it in here, hook up our radio stuff, and just play with you know, notes and stretch it out and really screw around with it and just see what I can do, because to me nothing is weird anymore in music, you know, so I don't know. Does that happen to anybody? I mean, is there a time when you just kind of hit a wall with the music that you listen to and you change entirely and kind of go in a different direction in a big way? I don't know. Does that make sense?
Sure. You know, I like to.
Have you done that? Like, do you feel like you've started listening or changed your tastes in music ever? Have you ever felt that way?
Well, as soon as I started listening to Dave Matthews Band, yes, I changed my taste
okay,
in music.
Okay.
And that was in 2004, and since then, you know,
I have been more open.
Why
did we both get angry over that? Why did we
both
get angry over
because,
that?
The way it sounds like you're almost hinting again that I don't get
music as much as you.
I do. I understand.
Stop it.
I like a few Radiohead songs, but if you notice, they're all structured the same way. I don't like the wild, you know, too experimental and crazy. The whole In Rainbows
album.
Give
it some time.
It's too much time. Don't yell at the mic, and it's time to talk to Russ Emmanuel. So We're going to get ready for that. That's enough of the music. Let's get into the movie stuff. Let's take a whole complete different spin on things.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the music after the interview with the Mugs. Some music presentation. Rusty Emanuel will be joining us on the James Madison Show.
Bringing madness to your weekend.
The idea is to keep the green alien landing craft from taking your humans from the ground and changing them into mutants.
The James Madison Show on Talk Radio X.
Joining us now on the James Madison Show, all the way from Los Angeles, is director Russ Emanuel, the director of Chasing the Green. We had him on back in August, you may remember, talking about PJ, and now he'll talk to us a little bit today about Chasing the Green. How are you today, Russ?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
We're okay. It's been a good time with the show. We're glad to have guests back. You're actually our first guest since, November?
Yeah. Oh, really?
So it's been a very long time, and we do appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you for having me back.
We'll pick up where we left off with the last interview. PJ, I understand PJ has really picked up some momentum since we last talked.
Yeah, no, it's been doing well, you know, since we completed the film. We've been in three film festivals, and we're actually going to be in our fourth. And, you know, I'm very grateful that, you know, received a positive reception. Thus far, we screened in January at the Park City Film Music Festival. We got a bronze medal for excellence. I think it was artistic excellence for the composer Neil Argo. And in March, we screened at the Miami Underground Film Festival, and we were able to get a Best Actress award for actress Patricia Ray, who plays Shelley in the film. And she very much deserves it. I mean, she put her heart into the film, and she's an incredible actress. And, you know, it's very warranted. Then in June, we screened in New Jersey, the New Jersey International Film Festival. We were very lucky to have won the grand prize there, the Best Feature Film / Video Award. So, I mean, that was an honor. So it was an incredible feat. We had Halikit Eisenberg there show up, we had the producer Howard Nash. He represented the film there. So that was in June 14th. And then we're having a screening in Pasadena, California, which is part of Los Angeles. And it's going to come up on July 27th, which is a Sunday. So if anybody wants to show up, it's at the Action on Film Festival, AOFF. No, AOFS.com, and it's July 27th at 1 p.m. Nice. So please come. And yeah, so that's where we are right now.
So even while you're working on new projects like Chasing the Green, like the last movie you did, PJ, it still goes on. You're still doing things for that movie.
Oh yeah, I mean it's fun. I mean it's just the whole process is just exciting. You know, it's a passion. Yeah. You know, from development to pre-production to production, post-production, and this stage, publicity, you know, just getting the film out there. And, you know, we got, some people to review the film, too, including Tony Farinella, 411mania.com, and Felix Vasquez of Cinema Crazed. You know, been very kind enough to be able to see my films. And review it. So, you know, it's all a process, and it's exciting. And just also for your information, my short film, Girl with Gun, got into a festival also. And, you know, this film we completed for a couple of years. And this film, by the way, Girl with Gun, was the reason I got funding for PJ. So Girl with Gun I hold very dear to my heart. And a festival, the Riverside Saginaw Film Festival in Saginaw, Michigan, did accept it and did screen it in June, along with another film I produced called Perfect Red. So, you know, all this is it's a process, you know, and I think in any job, any profession, if you don't have fun doing it, then there's no point in, you know, pursuing it. That's how I look at it. So, you know, I'll keep, you know, getting my films out there, whether it be a short film like Girl with Gun or a feature film that's completed like PJ. And, of course, there's Chasing the Green, which we just completed a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to be starting the same process. So, Yeah, it's just a very exciting process, and you know, I hope the same thing happens with Chasing Green.
I've noticed that it seems like everything, I don't know, to an outsider, it looks like your films are progressing. You had the short films you started with, you had PJ, and Chasing the Green just has an excellent cast list, at least to me. And it looks like, you know, getting larger actors, and it looks like maybe a higher budget. It just looks like it's building up to fame, I guess, pretty much. Is it really that way?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we got a higher budget, you know, and we were able to attract, you know, actors of, and both for PJ and Chasing the Green, actors of incredible caliber, like William Devane, Jeremy London, Ryan Hurst, you know, and PJ, John Hurd, Vincent Pastore, Robert Picardo, who was also in Chasing the Green. So it's, you know, it's been an honor to be able to work with these people. And, you know, as I'm stepping up, and, you know, I look at each film as a stepping stone. You know, I always want to take the next step. So I want to do something that challenges me, which is why, you know, I was very happy to be able to direct Chasing the Green, because it was a bigger budget. It was bigger in scope, you know, and it was more challenging. You know, PJ was challenging too, but Chasing the Green, just the whole process was, you know, one challenge after another, and it's exciting. So yeah, I mean, it's hopefully my next film will be even bigger, and you know, and then I hope people enjoy looking at it, you know, as a film as a whole.
Chasing the Green has an interesting storyline. I looked at it. Your executive producer, Craig Frankel, it's actually based on him, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, and Jeremy London plays him. And the character, of course, we changed the names, and if you look closely, it's inspired by a true story. So it's not a true story. But yeah, it's based on Craig and his life story, which is why the story is by him, and he's co-screenplay credit, too. But yeah, it's his life story. Jeremy London plays him. And actually in the film, if you watch it, we have this neat little cameo where they're actually both on the driving range. And Jeremy London, he, you know, hits the ball with his new driver. And Craig looks over at him and goes, "Nice shot." That's a little cameo in the film. So it's, you know, if you look closely, you'll be able to see the executive producer.
So how did everything go with Chasing the Green? Going into that now, I understand you filmed in New York City. How did everything go with that? Was the process pretty smooth and good?
Actually, yeah. I mean, PJ was shot in New York City for the most part. In this film, we only shot 2 days in New York City, which is in the Bronx. And that was for the bar scenes. The majority of the film was shot in Westchester.
Right.
And Westchester is the county above New York. So, you know, anybody in Los Angeles, I would call it the Orange County of Los Angeles. It's the county right over. And in Westchester, we shot a place called White Plains for the office scenes in the film. And we shot in the office scenes. We shot for like 6 to 7 days. We shot in Croton-on-the-Hudson, which is, you know, on the Hudson River. Very beautiful, I tell you. You know, I mean, Westchester is so different from New York City. I mean, it's just green foliage, you know. Whereas New York City, you expect high-rise buildings or, you know, the subway system. It's not anything like that in Westchester. I mean, it's just so different, which is why I consider it the Orange County of Los Angeles. Orange County is very different from Los Angeles County also. So, you know, we shot in Westchester for a majority of the shoot, 2 days in the Bronx, and then we also shot 2 days in Long Island. No, we shot 4 days in Long Island. Two of those days was for the golf scenes that you'll see in the film. That includes the driving range and exterior, you know, golf scenes. So we're on the golf course. You see, like, holes 1 and 18. But, yeah, this, and unlike PJ, too, this film was shot entirely in the state of New York. You could say that. So all of it was shot in New York this time, versus PJ, where 1 day was shot in New Jersey and 2 days was shot in Los Angeles. So it's a little different this time. But this time you get to see a whole new side of New York, if you will. So don't expect Manhattan.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah. In this movie, you have the new cast of Jeremy London, Ryan Hurst, Heather McComb, William Devane, and some other people. But you also worked again with a few actors and actresses you had in PJ, Picardo, Patricia Ray, Howard Nash, and I think another. How was that to work with them a second time? Was it pretty good?
Oh, it's so much easier. Because you know what to expect. You know, and right. Working with somebody like Patty, you know, Patricia Ray, you know, you know she delivers. And it's like giving direction is so much easier because we know how to work together now, you know? Mm. So, you know, Howard and I, we worked on both of these films. So, it's like, okay, so now you're this character, but I know your acting style, you know? And it's just, we don't have to talk as much. And they're able to, act with more efficiency, if you will. You know, it took more time on PJ because we were getting to know each other. But it's just like with Robert Picardo, he's just a consummate actor. You know, he got it right away. You know, and, you know, obviously this guy is an incredible actor. He's acted in a lot of things way before Chasing the Green and PJ. But, yeah, you know, it makes it so much easier when you're on a, you know, first-name basis because you've worked together before. And they're able to just do it right away.
And I have a question myself from just being an idiot about filmmaking. I really do enjoy to watch the special features on, you know, like DVDs and behind the scenes. I watched your behind the scenes for Chasing the Green as well. And I just it may be a stupid question. You may not have an answer, but I have to ask, and I'll try to make sense of it.
Sure.
But you're directing, I don't guess you're behind the camera, but you're setting up the scene and trying to figure out, what it's going to look. How do you figure out and approach it from just where you are on location, to think, I want it to look like this. How do you get it to look like that? I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, you mean once we already locked the location, or you mean the whole process?
With the camera, and you're trying to get that shot, and do you see the shot? Do you kind of see it there on location? I guess it's something you only have.
It's very subjective. I mean, let's just, if you want to go from, the first step, I mean, you would do location scouting, you know, in pre-production, right. And you would bring, like, your DP, your director of photography, who's your camera guy. And we all look, and we all decide, okay, yeah, we can use this location, sounds pretty good, you know, we could do this kind of shot. You know, basically, also FYI, you know how we were talking about working with the same actors?
Yeah.
This time, I worked with also some of the same crew, and that included the DP, so I knew what his style was. So, you know, there was a sense of trust there, you know, an unspoken trust. You know, I knew his style. I knew what he can do. He knew what I wanted, you know, which is, you do a master shot. You do a coverage, like a close-up or a medium shot. Then you do maybe a nice opening shot. And again, it depends on what equipment you have. Let's say we have a dolly. So I love using the dolly, or I love using the crane. And for the golf scenes, we have a Steadicam operator, so I wanted to make use of that Steadicam to make the film look that much better. So let's say we have all that equipment. We know in location, here's the location, here's where we could set up the dolly, here's where we can use the Steadicam. So we decide that in pre-production. You know, I have a talk with my my DP, which is Seth Melnick. And then we say, okay, we can do this, that, and that. And then, you know, I do a storyboard based on the location. I'm able to visualize it, and I'm like, here's the storyboard. So, you know, I did, I think it was about 1,000 frames storyboard. Which I gave, of course, to the principal crew. So they knew, you know, basically we're on the same page. And then once you get into production, and of course you have rehearsals with your actor. So you know the location, you have rehearsals too. And then once you get into production and you're shooting it, of course, you know, you have a plan. And sometimes, you know, this happens, you know, on film a lot. You know, it doesn't go all according to plan, and you would have to improvise. I think a very good director knows how to improvise as much as, you know, sticking to the plan.
Right.
So let's say, I don't know, you have to combine two shoot days into one. You know, then of course it's going to put a little little damper on your schedule there. But then, you know, I think a director, a knowledgeable director, will then think, okay, how are we going to do this? You know, and we'll have to improvise right on the spot. And that has happened a couple times, which is why it's so much easier to work with a cast and crew that you've already worked with before. Because they know that this might happen, you know, and they're prepared for it. And a professional actor and a professional crew will understand this. So, you know, I mean, we stick to the plan, and I say we stuck to the plan, I don't know, maybe 80, 90% of the time, but there's that 10 to 20% where sometimes you have to improvise. You just have to, you know, think outside the box. So, and, you know, then we shoot it. You know, maybe there's a schedule change. I don't know. Maybe it's raining that day, so you have to switch from exterior to an interior day. And you just have to think about it, and, you know, you just get the job done one way or the other. You know, I meant, for the most part, it went very efficiently at Chasing the Green, but there were some days where it was, you know, where we had to improvise, and that's part of the fun. It's fun, you know, it's very fun trying to think of new ways to do things. And, you know, I think that's one of the main reasons I'm in filmmaking. It's challenging, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm really envious. I've watched the DVD special features and things like that all the time, and it just looks like it is so fun, and like there's a camaraderie on the set, on every set, and you know, is that the true atmosphere? Is it fun? It's business, but you also have, you know, it's pretty loose, and you're happy to be. Everybody's happy to be there.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. There's always going to be. This is not a. It's not a fairy tale, you know, story setting on anything. You know, I mean, reality is sometimes, you know, nerves are frayed, and it happens on every film. But at the same time, for the majority of the shoot, everybody had fun. You know, it's like for me, the cast and crew is like family. You know, and what does a family do? You know, family does have its downs, you know. Every family does, right? But your family, you stick together, you know, through all the hardships, and you stick together. So we did. And by doing that, then, you know, everything else for 95% of the time was just smooth, very efficient. We all had a laugh. We all, you know, on our days off, you know, we'd hang together. You know, we had the wrap party. I mean, it's just very fun. And, of course, I talk with, you know, several cast and crew even to this day. You know, we all want to work together again. We all love making films, you know. So it's like, when you see the behind the scenes, you're actually seeing a slice of reality. You know, I mean, yeah, it's business. You know, you want to, you know, you need to get the shots. But why not have fun doing it? You know, why not have fun doing it? Otherwise, it's just all business. And I tell you, if it's all business, it's going to seem very cold, and it's going to translate on screen. So when you see the film, it's going to feel cold. You know, something's going to feel, you know, it's not going to feel right. And you're going to be able to sense it. You may not actually understand why, but you're going to sense it. Something's not right. And it's because, in my opinion, it's because on set, you know, things weren't a family-knit. It wasn't a family-knit environment. And, you know, people weren't having fun. That's my opinion. So, you know, hopefully on Chasing the Green and PJ and every film I've done, you know, there was that sense of family, and it translated.
And I guess moving appropriately to post-production, I guess we're going through the stages, I guess, but I understand that Ryan Hurst did a little work in the post-production editing. I'm not really sure the details, but was that different from PJ with having somebody else?
Yeah, you could say it was. I mean, you know, when you make a film, it's you know, it's subjective. You know, there's different ways to do it. So on PJ, you know, I was handling more of the post-production. On this film, we were, you know, we gave it to a company, which is Ryan Hurst's company, Fast Shoes, and we put our trust in them. And, you know, it made it a lot easier because I didn't have to handle the day-to-day stuff. So basically, in this case, you know, we would, you know, and this is Craig, the executive producer, Howard, the producer, and myself, we would, you know, sit back, they would do the work. When they have something to present us, they would present it to us. We'd all view it, and we all compile our notes, and we all would then give it to Ryan Hurst's company. And again, they would do the same thing, and, you know, there's that, you know, circle of trust. So it made it a lot easier, you know, and it was different from PJ. And, you know, both were good in its own way, if you will. So, you know, in this case, I had more R&R.
So with Chasing the Green, do you have any idea how that will, how, you know, as it will be released, festivals or a DVD or things like that, how our listeners or us or anybody could get a hold of it and view it when that opportunity, those opportunities will come?
Well, right now what we're doing is sending out the reviews, and we're, you know, we're trying to get it out there for publicity purposes. And, of course, at the same time, we're trying to sell the film. So I'd say, you know, give it a couple months, and you'll hopefully see it at your local Blockbuster or, you know, your Netflix or, you know, crossing my fingers, theatrical. And, I hope, you know, you're entertained. Again, it's entertainment. I'm an entertainer, so I hope the audience is entertained by the film. And, you know, you sit back for, and this film is an hour and 42 minutes, so hopefully for those hour and 42 minutes, you're able to sit back and just think of something else besides day-to-day real life, and you're able to sit back, watch Chasing the Green, and enjoy yourself.
One of my final questions, there may not be an answer to it, but you finished Chasing the Green, you're getting started with everything after that, and you finished PJ. When do you get in your sights what your next project will be?
Well, right now we have several ideas, but to be honest with you, PJ and Chasing the Green is taking a lot of my time. So, you know, right now we're just in discussions, but it's not too serious yet. And it's just to make two films, and I made PJ and Chasing the Green pretty much in the same year. That took a lot out of me. It's very difficult to do two independent films, feature films, at pretty much the same time. So right now I want to focus on those two films and just make sure they get proper distribution channels. Proper film festival showings, proper, you know, hopefully awards and accolades and reviews. And that's what I'm doing. And trust me, publicity is just as hard, if not harder, than actually making a film. So that's where I am at this point. But look out on the horizon and just, you know, keep checking back at russin.com, because trust me, I'm not stopping with Chasing the Green.
It looks great, and you know, every project that you have coming up, as long as you want to come back, you're very welcome on this show.
Well, I do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And, you know, I mean, it's an honor to be able to, you know, talk on your show. You know, and you're very astute with your questions, too. And so, yeah, you know, feel free to call me anytime, too.
Well, Russ Emanuel, your second time on the program, thank you so much. Everybody, check out Chasing the Green. It's chasingthegreen.com. And also on our MySpace, Chasing the Green will be at the top. And we'll pull PJ up at the top, too. Check out all these movies. And Russim Product, is it russim.com?
Yeah, it's russem.com. So M as in Mary.
Okay, everybody, check that out. Check out jamesmadisonshow.com. We'll post links. Check out this behind-the-scenes video for Chasing the Green. This is going to be a great movie. It stars Jeremy London, Ryan Hurst, Heather McComb, William Devane, Robert Picardo, among many. It looks pretty good. Check out the synopsis, and thank you so much, Russ.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Frank and James. I appreciate your having me on the show again.
Director Russ Emanuel here on the James Madison Show. Remember, check out chasingthegreen.com. Check out his MySpace for PJ and Chasing the Green, all on our tops at our James Madison Show MySpace. And you can, of course, go to jamesmadisonshow.com to get all of the information and check out the behind-the-scenes YouTube video of this film. There are also behind-the-scenes videos of PJ, things like that, and I think the scoring session of PJ, so definitely some cool things to check out on YouTube and MySpace from Russ Emanuel, and we look forward to having him on again in the future for the third appearance. Again, our second guest, Russ Emanuel, second time back in less than a year. A pleasure. Coming up, a lot more. Don't go anywhere on the James Madison Show. The summer music presentation continues. And you can also, remember, email jamesmadisonshow@yahoo.com with the answer. Where did most of the filming take place for Chasing the Green? What state in the United States? And you will win one copy of Justoff Turner's The Long Walk Back. Stick with us here on Talk Radio X. This is the James Madison Show.
Greetings. You have reached the Sixth Sense Detective Agency. We know who you are and what you want. So at the sound of the tone, please hang up.
This is the James Madison Show.
The James Madison Show.
The JM Show will be introducing bands and their music on the program. Get involved before it's too late. Submit your music to the James Madison Show Summer Music Presentation today. Miss the show? Don't worry, full shows are now on demand via podcast at jamesmadisonshow.com. The James Madison Show, kicking off your weekend on Talk Radio X.
The James Madison Show invites you to support the Robert Picardo Fan Club's Hollywood Walk of Fame project. Robert Picardo is a man of many talents, and he deserves to be on the walk. Support the cause today by donating any amount of money to the project. For more, visit fanclub.robertpicardo.com.
James Madison Show on Talk Radio X.
Original talk, 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. Time for another edition, I'm going to call it an edition, of the summer music presentation on the James Madison Show, only for the summer, only on Talk Radio X. So the band this week is The Muggs. That's M-U-G-G-S. It's always, every band so far we've had, or musician, it's been difficult to say the name. It's been a differently
How
spelled.
How difficult is it to say Muggs?
No, I mean, it's just different. No, that's nothing. That's not even a complaint or a concern.
Certainly sounded like it.
Out of Detroit, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit, Michigan. We also talked to another band from around Detroit, yep. Crash at Cairo, but that's hopefully we'll talk to him again.
Okay.
But anyway, so there's a lot of Detroit stuff. Detroit action going on the show.
What? Carry on. Now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, these guys have been together for a good time now. They, all of them came from, I think, some other bands around. They formed in February of the year 2000. Guitar player Danny Methrick, bass player Tony DiNardo, Matt Rost, local drummer, local drummer, that's another part. And they wanted to do... I don't know what I'm doing now. This is always the best, most fun part about the music presentation, trying to gather the bio and reading it in a good way. And in this case, there is no straightforward bio that I can read, so I'm kind of improvising here, and it's not smooth.
He's making all of it up. Nothing. Yes, none of
yes.
This is true.
This band doesn't exist. Yeah, they do. But it is difficult to, you know, I'm trying to pull things out. But anyway...
You sure are.
They wanted all these guys. They wanted to do something more bluesy, and they did. They did just that. And
I like the sound.
It turned out great. Yeah, I like.
Just, I listened to the song. It's called. What is it called? Get It On. Get It On. Yes. And this is the song they sent us, and hopefully they send us a few more songs. I like the sound that they have, and I listened to the song for the first time just as we sat down to do the show, and I must say I enjoyed it. So hopefully everybody else enjoys it very much, and hopefully also. On the side, we can just play more of the music, and we'll let you know that it's them and that it's more of the music. And you can also check out the music before we would play it and buy the LP On With The Show, 2008. And I think there was one in 2005, a release. And you can get this at themuggs.com. That's The Muggs, M-U-G-G-S, and myspace.com/themuggs, M-U-G-G-S, for Muggs. So check out both of these, and they are on our top friends as well on our MySpace for the James Madison Show MySpace, and jamesmadisonshow.com. Everything's going to be linked there with the show info. But hey, it's a pretty tight group, and hey, their website, we're on it right now as we're talking about it. This is a pretty tight website as well. It's very well set up, pretty nice. I like the logo. Let's take a look at the logo at the top of the site, and just the whole. Feel of this group. It's kind of retro, you know, but the sound is not at all. Well, I've only listened to one song, so what am I saying about the sound? I don't really know enough, but the one song I heard, it's, I wouldn't judge it by that, but then again, I'm talking like that's bad, so I don't even know. Put it this way, I like it. I enjoy listening to it. And we didn't have time to listen to some of the songs on their MySpace. I checked the MySpace out, so I may have a treat waiting for me when I get done with the show. But I started listening to one of the songs on the MySpace, or it popped up and started playing, and I heard it on the headphones, And it sounded pretty good, too. It sounds like my kind of stuff. And I'm not a music elitist, James. Not a music elitist. But it does sound good. It sounds, from what I've heard so far, I need to listen more. I need to listen to more songs and more times. But I'm feeling pretty good about it right now. And it sounds like it's friendly to a lot of people, you know. It's very, accessible. It's very accessible. But it's all, you know, it's very creative and just quality music. Anything else you want to say on this, James? This is Get It On from On With The Show, The Mugs. Anything you want to say before we play this?
Let's roll this.
No, let's get this going. Check themugs.com, of course, and all that. There's a lot of interesting stuff. While you were talking, I was just reading the bio. So that's why I wasn't talking, if anyone's...
I was talking and you nicely don't want to interrupt me when I'm talking.
Well,
don't you?
That's not really part of it, but definitely check that out. Some interesting stuff. And without further ado, here's their song,
Get It On.
Yes, Get It On.
Let's go.
That was the Mugs. Definitely check them out, as we said before. And also, thanks to the Mugs for submitting their music. If you want to be a part of the summer music presentation, email jamesmadisonshow@yahoo.com and send us an MP3 or send us a CD or whatever, and we'll put you in the schedule. So there's some spots open. So definitely, if you know somebody who's in a band or know a band, or you have a band, or you just play yourself with an acoustic guitar, send that to us, and we'll get back to you. So, anyway, thanks to them. Thanks to Rusty Manuel. Big thanks to him for being on the show. So, definitely something to check out. Lots of things to check out. We always have things we're telling you to check out, but definitely check all that stuff out.
Yeah. Check out Robert Picardo. Yeah, check it out. I got the TV Guide in the mail this week, and guess who's has a big picture and a mention in TV Guide? None other than Robert Picardo. So, if you get a TV Guide or want to get a TV Guide, get it. Because his whole Stargate Atlantis deal, that's awesome, and he's in it for that this week. So, yeah, the thing coming up in Las Vegas, the thing, the charity auction for Habitat for Humanity, second annual. It's on August, what's the date? August 10th, and it's from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m., Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Palace Station Hotel and Casino. Tickets are $35 a person. This includes the meal. Robert Picardo will be hosting the event. He'll be there, and you don't know who knows who will be there. Plenty of people. You can auction things off. You can buy things that are auctioned off. I don't think you can auction things off. You can eat dinner, so you get food at least. And
they'll let you do that.
Yeah. And it's all for charity, and you can pay in any way that you want or need to pay in, check, money order, credit card, PayPal, you know, contact Pat Arthur. Pat's been on this program several times, great person, friend first, representative second of Robert Picardo, and just a whole great bunch of people to be associated with. So visit robertpicardo.com, and if you need help getting in contact with Pat, then just contact us if it's easier for you, and we'll get you right in touch with her and get this deal sorted out. They need a lot of people there, and you can be there. It's August 10th. Plenty of time to plan that vacation to Vegas. So definitely look into that. So what? We have a few minutes left. In fact, literally just a few minutes left. How do we want to wind down on this thing? Just set up next week a little bit, maybe what we're kind of looking at next week. Yeah, next week coming up, talking a little bit about the internet. I know there's there's something we were going to talk about maybe on this show, but we just ran out of time. A lot of stuff happened. So next week we can talk a little bit about life before the internet, and that's not life before it existed. That's life before we as people discovered it and used it.
Well, I thought I was getting ready to disagree with you and make you look like an idiot, but you were right. So that just says nothing about me.
I don't really understand.
I don't either. Yeah, that's my job is to come on the mic after James talks and say, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do next week. So, yes, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to spend the week looking for potentially, serious things and funny things. Hey, we may make we may revisit our two favorite things on this show, MySpace Kid and German Video Game Kid. So you may remember them from previous James Madison shows. They may make a return.
The quality programming that is.
By the way, we're going to close out with none other than that German kid I just talked about. Here is the German kid remix from Japan, and that's how this show is going to end today.
To your weekend. The James Madison Show on Talk Radio X.